Turn back to Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. I've looked at this scripture a number of times, and I realized recently, while looking at it, I thought there's two sisters involved in this story, in this part of God's Word. And we identify with one of the two. One of these two girls, we can all take our place, being either the one or the other. And I hope that I identify with Mary, although I know I don't. Verse 38 begins, "Now it came to pass." Me and Frank was talking there before the lesson this morning. Isn't it something just to read God's Word? I'll boldly confess to you that the bulk of God's Word is a mystery to me. I just scratch my head and I just say, "Lord, I don't see what this is about. Lord, will you teach me something? Will you show me what this is about? I don't see it." But occasionally he'll show me something. And I think at some time he showed me this. It came to pass. It came to pass. And the truth of that statement, it came to pass. It must come to pass. All things must come to pass. And I think, especially to the believer, we can find much comfort there, knowing that all things come to pass. As they were determined, as they were ordained, as they were purposed, as they were willed of our Heavenly Father, even before the foundation of the world. All things are going to come to pass. This phrase appears many times in the Word of God. But as I looked at this week, it says, "Now it came to pass." Isn't that even more comforting? It came to pass right now. Right at the exact time, at the appointed time, at the predetermined time, it came to pass. It came to pass as they went. Now our Lord, in His earthly ministry, He traveled almost all the time with those around Him, in company with others. Others that had looked for the Messiah, others that He had come and revealed Himself to, those that He had called, those that He had went out like Peter. Out there, can you picture that? Out there on a beach, out there at a seaside, and our Lord walking on that seaside, walking on that shore of the beach. And who knows how many people were there? Hundreds, maybe thousands of people. There were ships, there were fishermen, there were people working, there were people enjoying recreation, and our Lord crossed the path of this one man, Peter. And He said, "Follow me. Peter, you follow me. Lay down all this other stuff you're doing. You follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Come and follow me." And he did. He left everything. And he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. As they went. Now these men, after he had revealed himself to them, after he had given them faith in him, these men wanted to be in his company. You see throughout all the Old Testament, our Lord would do some amazing thing for someone. And they desired to follow our Lord. Like that man, that Gadarene, our pastor preached on that here just a couple of weeks ago. That demoniac over there in the land of the Gadarenes. Our Lord went over there, this crazy, wild man that nobody could do anything with. And our Lord put this man in his right mind. What a great place to be in his right mind. And he said, "I'll follow you anywhere. I want to go with you." And he said, "No, here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to go become a theologian. I don't want you to go home and become a doctor of divinity and speak where nobody can understand what you're saying. I want you to go home to your family and friends and your neighbors and your loved ones. And I want you to do this one thing. You tell them what you were. And you tell them who I am. And you tell them what I did for you. You tell them what great things I've done for you." That's some of these people that are traveling with our Lord. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village." Isn't that something? Do we see that? I've told Frank after the message, I've read that there in 2 Samuel. I don't know how many times I've read. How many people gleaned what the Lord gave Frank from that portion of God's Word? How many people gleaned? I said, I've never seen that before. I've read about Abner. I know who Abner is. And here, he entered into a certain village. Not just a village. This is in the vicinity of Jerusalem. It was a 2-mile walk from Jerusalem to this little community called Bethany. Now, any direction you went from Jerusalem, there were villages. There were villages in every direction. And every village needed the same thing. Like every place in our day needs the same thing. They need to have a visit from the Lord Himself. Now, He came to this place. And it just wasn't helter-skelter. It just wasn't, well, I think it's a time of day that we need to take a little break here and from our journey. This looks like an inviting place, a comfortable place, a cool place. Let's go to this village. No, it was a certain village. It was a certain village. This is a certain village here. You know that 3 years ago, I think you all have been here about three or four years. 3 or 4 years ago, I didn't even know there was a Hurricane Road that existed in the world. I'd never heard of Hurricane Road. How many people know Hurricane Road? I mean, it's not like New York or Los Angeles or Houston. It's Hurricane Road. It's just a little village. You know, down here, before we get here, coming up this way, there's about 5 or 6 homes here in a little cluster, you know. And I know we're getting close when we see them little houses down there. That's where our Lord went. He went to a village. He went to a village. I remember years ago reading that Billy Graham, you know, who was, as the world speaks and as the religious world speaks, he's the greatest in our day, you know. You think Billy Graham would come to Hurricane Road? You think he'd come to Iron or Coal Grove? Think he'd come to Canova? I think you had to have a ton of money up front even to get anybody representing that organization to come to wherever it is you wanted him to come. You'd never get Billy Graham or Joel Osteen. You'd never get him to come to Hurricane Road. But our Lord came to this village, this certain village. It is a certain village. He had to come there. He had to come there. Now, we're introduced to 2 young women in this story. There was also a brother that lived in this household. He's not mentioned in this part of God's Word. In other places, he's mentioned Lazarus. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Evidently, Martha is the oldest, the matriarch of this family, possibly a widow. Possibly her husband is dead, and now she's raising her younger brother and sister in her home. But our Lord came to this certain village. Certain village. And the Lord's came to certain villages in our day. Certain villages in our day. And I thought as I looked at this, I don't think you'd get an argument from anyone that the Lord has used Henry Mahan greater than anybody in our day. And I'm not bragging on Henry Mahan. I'm bragging on the Lord who put Henry Mahan in a little out-of-the-way place called Ashton, Kentucky. And He put him in that place because the people here this morning that were His sheep, that He was going to call by the preaching of the gospel. He had to be. You think Henry Mahan, when he was over there on that ship, and they raised that flag on Iwo Jima, and he was watching with the binoculars from the deck of that ship, and he went to the captain. He said, "Captain, you got to see this." He said, "They've raised the flag on Mount Sarabachi." And he gave the binoculars to the captain, and there it was. Old Glory, flying on Iwo Jima. That's close to World War II. You think he ever thought, being from Alabama, you think he ever thought that he was going to get out of the service and in just 5 years would end up in Ashton, Kentucky? No. God knew. The Lord knew. He was going to send that man to this certain place called Ashton, Kentucky, because he had much sheep in this place. And that's what's going on here. Our Lord went to a certain village. And it goes on. It just keeps getting gooder and gooder. Look at this. And a certain woman. You see that? A certain woman. You know, I thought, the last census I remember, we live over in back of Iron. They used to say, down at work, you'd say, "Where are you from?" And they'd say, "Out back of Iron." And they said, "It must be the Biggest place in the world. Said everybody I talked to is Outback Iron, you know. And but I looked it up, the last census, there's 53,000 people in Lawrence County. 53,000 people. I think there's about 175,000 people in this tri-state area. Big area. A lot of people. But it said here, our Lord entered into a certain village, and in that certain village that He must go through, like Samaria, there was a certain woman. A certain woman. And in this big tri-state area, there's certain people. Frank talked about it. There's certain people. He's going to cross their path. He's going to cross their path. He's going to cross the path of these two young women. He's going to cross these two young women's path. And He's going to teach them something, and He's going to teach us something. It's a certain woman. Everybody in this village needed the same thing. Everybody in this tri-state area needs the same thing. We all have one thing in common. We were talking, Chip and I were talking there before the service. And Earl, you can enter into this. And all you men that work public works are just out there among people. I've heard things down there in 40 years down there at Armco. I've heard things that is unfit for any ear to hear. But you know what? I can remember every detail. Ever lurid, sordid, awful, ugly detail of those things. And yet Frank said, we'll forget what Wednesday night message was. We all need the same thing. We all need mercy. We all need grace. We need for our Lord to come where we are and to do something for us that we can't do for ourselves. He came to a certain village, and there was a certain woman named Martha. Oh, and look at this. She received Him into her house. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? It's really happened. This was people that really lived 2,000 years ago. They really lived in this little village. There really was a person named Martha and Mary. And our Lord, there was a knock at the door one day in this certain village and in this certain woman's house. There was a knock at the door. Opened the door. And there's the Lord. There's the Lord. And He continues to do that. He continues to knock on the door of those that He intends to abide with. I must abide at thy house. And she received Him gladly into her home. You see that? Received Him gladly into her house. Now listen, this was a time of much persecution of our Lord. Everybody, Henry used to say, I used to love to see Henry do this. He said, everybody was anybody. You remember him doing that? Turn thumbs down on Him. Turn thumbs down on the Lord. They had a bounty out on His head. There was a price on His capture, and anyone that would kill Him would be doing the high priest a favor, you know. And anyone that would allow Him into their home was putting themselves in jeopardy, putting themselves in danger. This was a dangerous time to be a believer in that man, Jesus of Nazareth. But yet they gladly received Him. They gladly received Him into their home. Now verse 39, Martha, she had a sister. Her name was Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and she heard His word. It's very important here, what's going on here. It's very important. Now here's the picture. Our Lord came to this home, into this certain village and into this certain home that the matriarch was this certain woman named Martha. And He came into this home. Now you know that there was greetings and amenities shown to someone that you dearly loved into your home. You have someone you dearly love visit your home. Aren't you glad to see him? Don't you hug? Aren't you just so excited to have him in your home and some time for fellowship and the time to sit and to talk and I'm sure that there may have been some traveling with our Lord that maybe Mary and Martha didn't know. There may have been introductions made. This is Peter. These two young ladies, this is Mary and Martha. There was greetings and salutations, and there was those amenities and that light conversation. And then evidently, as our Lord always did, He began to teach. And there was chairs brought, or else they were in a sitting room or a living room, and there was chairs, and he sat down. And he sat down and he began to teach the people in this household. You see that? And Mary, she sat at his feet and she heard his word. Now what we don't have recorded in this portion of God's word is that he taught in this household. But just use your sanctified imagination just for a little bit. What do you think the Lord would teach when he goes into a household? What do you think? Where do you think he would begin? I believe he sat down there, and I believe he began to tell about his Heavenly Father. I believe he began to tell about the beauty of the Heavenly Father, about the holiness of the Heavenly Father, about the majesty and the sovereignty of the Heavenly Father. He may have sat down and he said, you know, there was an old king years ago. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. He was somebody. He was a world ruler. There'd only been 5 empires that's ever ruled the entire world. Babylon was one of them. Their king was Nebuchadnezzar. And old Nebuchadnezzar, he was proud, arrogant man. He didn't know God, didn't recognize God. And one day he was out there walking in his palace. And he began to brag on himself. And he said, look what I've done. Look at the conquest I've made. Look what I've provided. Look at my palace. And look at the hanging gardens here. One of the 7 wonders of the ancient world. Look at all that I've provided. And God appeared to him. And he said, you're going to become like a wild animal. You're going to live like a wild animal for 7 years. And his fingernails grew like the talons of an eagle. And his hair grew. And he led him out in the pasture field. And he ate grass like a wild animal. 7 years he was like that. And at the end of the 7 years, his mind returned unto him. And Nebuchadnezzar says, now I know. Now I know who God is. I know something about Him. The majesty and the holiness and the perfection and the sovereignty of God. And Nebuchadnezzar said, He rules in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? He's God, and He's Lord over all He surveys. I believe He said something like that to these 2 young women. I believe He said something about what we are. Man at his best state, altogether vanity. I want to tell you about going back there to the beginning. Back there when I created man in my own image and caused him to sleep and took a rib out from him and made woman, brought her to him, and they became one flesh. And I put them in a garden, a perfect place, a beautiful place, and I gave them one commandment. Everything's yours. Everything's yours. But I'm telling you one thing. Don't eat of the fruit that's on the tree in the midst of the garden. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And he took of that fruit. Adam took of that fruit. He took of that fruit. And he plunged the whole creation into utter chaos and ruin and sin. And it's that way until this day. I believe he told them something about the nature of man, the character of man, the inability of man to do anything to help himself. They lapse up iniquity like the water. Is there no hope? Is there no hope? I believe he went further. And he said, but there's hope. There's hope. I came down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is his will. He gave me a people in eternity past. An elect people. Don't shy away from them words. A chosen people. A special people. That God knew before the foundation of the world. And in that great covenant of mercy and grace between God the Father and God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'll go down there. I'll go down there and redeem every one of them. And I believe he told them girls, he said, that's what I'm doing now. I'm on the trail of my sheep. I'm on the trail of the sheep of my Heavenly Father. Those he gave me in eternity past. And I've come down here and I've obeyed the law on their behalf. I've faced Satan and defeated him on their behalf. I've lived a life of perfection for them. And I'm going to go to the cross. And I'm going to take their sin and shame. And I'm going to die in their room instead as a sacrifice to the Heavenly Father on behalf of my people. I believe he told them that. Now here's the thing I want to draw our attention to. Where was Martha? Who do you identify with? Where was Martha? She was out there in the kitchen. And she had fried chicken and mashed potatoes and gravy cooked. Can't you see her out there? She had an apron on, her hair all disheveled and the sweat running down her behind her glasses, and she was in a mess. Where was Mary? Get this picture in your mind. Where was Mary? Right there she sat. Right there she sat. And I tell you, I promise you one thing. Mary was not concerned about what she had on. She was not concerned about her dress. She was not concerned about what's going on tomorrow and the troubles of the day. How are we going to pay the rent? Will our job hold out? Are we going to be able to provide food and clothing for this household? She sat there frozen, looking into the face of the Lord Himself. And listen to this. She heard His Word. She heard His Word. Can't you just see her sitting there? Here's Mary. Here's Martha out there. She's clamoring around out there. Pots and pans gone. And she's in a mess. She's all tied up with things of this world. But here sits Mary. She don't move, as Henry used to say, don't move a hand or a hair. She's sitting there, frozen, listening to the Word of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thought this past week, as I've been looking at this, we got a little old dog. His name's Louie. He ain't much. And last week, me and Jackie was getting ready to watch a movie on TV, or a show we watch. There's three or four shows we watch on TV. And she said, how about a bowl of popcorn? I said, man, I'd love a bowl of popcorn. And she put that thing on that TV on pause, and she went to the kitchen. Louie's laying over here in his rocking chair, sound asleep. He don't know anything's going on. She goes back there and she starts popping that popcorn. And I'm looking over there watching Louie. My ears perk up, you know. And she brings that popcorn in a big bowl. It's that big. It's got butter on it. Sets it right in my lap. And she goes back to get some drinks. And I'm sitting there with this bowl of popcorn on my lap. And Louie jumps off that rocking chair. And he comes over. And he gets as close as he can. Right there at my feet. And he's sitting there. And he don't move. I'm not even sure if he's breathing. He's sitting there looking just like this. He's not looking outside. He's not looking out the door or the window. He's not looking anywhere. He's looking right at me. You see what I'm saying here? Because he knows that his master is going to feed him. And here sits Mary at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. She don't hear all that clamor going on out there. She don't hear any of that. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing every word He says. And I called this message a missed opportunity. A missed opportunity. In our day, the Lord has entered certain villages. And the Lord has called out from among men, certain men. Certain men. And He's enabled those men to go forth with the gospel that tells about who God is, tells about what we are, and tells about how can man that's born of a woman be just with God. How's that possible? How's that possible? In our very best state, we're altogether vanity. How is it that we can be accepted of God? How is it that one day He can say, Enter, thou blessed, into the kingdom I've prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. How's that possible? How's that possible? It's only in Christ. Only in that man. That man that's here preaching the gospel to this household. And one of those girls has missed an opportunity to hear the gospel. The gospel is in this place. The gospel is in this place. And I thought as I looked at this, and I told Dan there this morning, Dan said, I hit him on the back, you know, when I sat down. Dan said, I can't believe you're beating me up before you ever even get in the pulpit. I said, I'm not going to beat you up, Dan. I'm going to talk to myself and I'm going to let you listen in. And that's what I'm doing. Don't ever take this for granted. Dale, don't ever take this for granted. Every village in America don't have this. This little village has got this. This little village has got the gospel. God has been pleased to reach down in this place and establish a witness to His grace through the preaching of the gospel. This place. Dale, don't ever take it for granted. Every place don't have this. I'm going to go out next week, Lord willing, and preach out Madisonville. Brother Maurice Montgomery's been pastor out there for 30 years. Maurice is in declining health, and they need the pulpit filled every service. Maurice hadn't been able to preach now in, 2 years at least. And they fill the pulpit every service for 2 years now. They've had to fill the pulpit. God's given us a man, a faithful servant. And he's diligent in the Word. Dale, don't ever take this for granted, because everybody don't have this. Everybody don't. There's places today that a couple of people I got to know last summer. I think you all met out there in Montana. Anyway, I came here and preached last year. Donnie Bell had him come through. I think he preached for you all, and he preached for us down at Wheelersburg. What's his name, Jackie? Wayne Boyd. Yeah, Wayne Boyd. And Wayne meets out there on Wednesday night at his home. There's him and his wife and his little boy and one other man. And he preaches. And he preached for us, and the Lord's given him a message. But yet there's no place out there. There's no place out there. And we've got it here. The Lord's given us. Don't ever take this for granted, Dale. Don't ever cause the Lord to come to me and say, Dale, what are you doing? That's what's going on here. Verse 40, Martha was cumbered about much serving. This is commendable. Much serving. This is a diligent woman. This was a woman that's the matriarch of this family. And she has the Lord as a guest in her home. You think she's not going to fix the very best? Think she's not going to spare any expense? She's going to fix the best she's got. And it is commendable. Oh, but it's not the time. It's not the time. I don't know that we're supposed to use these phrases, but I do. One of my favorite scriptures over in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there's a season. And there's a time for every purpose under the heaven. There's a time to be born. Sean and Julie brought that little fella this morning. 6 weeks old tomorrow. First time at church. 6 weeks ago tomorrow. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I've been there at these occasions. I'll bet Cecil was just stupid acting. I bet he was just... I know we were. I know every birth of every child, you're just goofy. I mean, you're just the only word for it. You're just silly. And there's a time for that. There's a time for that. But Solomon, in all his wisdom that God gave him, he said, there's a time to be born and all that is associated with that. But there's a time to die. You see what he's saying? There's a time to die. There's a time for solemn weeping, sorrow, saying goodbye. It's all in a balance. There's a time to plant. You don't plant 12 months out of the year. There's a time to plant. There's a time to pluck up that which is planted. There's a time to mourn. There is a time to mourn. Don't we mourn over our loved ones that the Lord's not crossed their path? Don't we mourn over our loved ones that the Lord's not given the gospel to in a saving, effective way and broken their hearts and given them faith in Christ? We mourn over that. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to dance. There's a time for joy and big smile on her face. Happy in the Lord. Thank God for your mercy and grace to me in the Lord Jesus Christ. Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about much serving. Not now. You're missing an opportunity. She was cumbered about much serving, verse 40. And she came to him. Now, right in the middle of this message. Oh, my goodness. I've been blessed in my life. I was 5 years old. Cecil, how old were we when we heard him? 5 years old, probably, over Pollard. Just little boys. I heard him all my life. Heard him all those years. Every opportunity. But this is the Lord Himself. No man ever spoke like this man. No man ever spoke. How many messages have we heard in our lifetime? I mean, messages that just set you back, just take your breath away. Just that God-honoring and Christ-glorifying messages. But yet we never heard one from the Master. And here the Master Himself has come to this certain woman's house. And at some point during that message, she got up and left and went back there and began to do this preparation. And then at some point in this message, that kitchen door flies open with a bang. And she comes in, her hair down. She's sweaty. That apron is all stained with flour and grease. And she's in a snit. I mean, she's fuzzed up. And she comes right into the very presence of the Lord Himself. And she says, "Lord, interrupted a message. Here, oh, it's been, it's been 5 or 6 years ago now. There was a fellow came down to Grace Fellowship. Charles was preaching. And there was a fellow came there, and he sat in the same row we were. And I noticed he didn't have a Bible, but he sat there the whole message. He wasn't making any commotion or anything. And as soon as the message was over, he raised his hand. And Charles said, "You have something to say or want to say?" And the fellow said, I do. And Charles said, "Well, what is it?" Charles thought he may have been going to comment on the effect of the message, that maybe the Lord had been merciful to this man. And he said, "While I was sitting there," he said, "the Lord spoke to me and told me," and Charles said, "Hold it right there, buddy." He said, "Hold it right there." He said, I don't have any interest in what you've got to say. Just sit down and be quiet." And he come back for the next week, I believe it was, and he got up to do the same thing. And Dan Culver, for one, got right up out of his chair, and another fellow over here, and they got that fellow and escorted him out, showed him the exit. Think about this. This is the Lord. This is a message from the Lord Himself. The words of life dripping from the Lord Himself. And that door flies open, and in comes Martha, and she said, "Don't you care? Lord, don't you care? Can't you just see her?" Who do you identify with? Which one of these girls identifies me and my attitude towards the worship of God and the study of His Word? I'll get back there. We've got made a little study back there off of our bedroom. Got my computer back there and everything. And I'll go back there sometime. The Bible lays right there. The Bible lays right there. And I can't tell you the times I find myself playing them card games on the computer. And there it lays right there. There it lays, the Word of Life. I could learn something from that little old dog of ours. And I'm just saying to me, be careful for this great blessing that God's showered upon us in this place, in our day. She said, "Don't you care? Don't you care that my sister," look at this, I underlined this, these five words right here, "my sister has left me. Don't you care?" And I thought, you know what the short answer would be? No, I don't. I sure don't care. I sure don't care. Matter of fact, everybody is going to leave father and mother, sister, brother, husband and wife. They'll take up their cross and follow me. I sure don't care. But he didn't do that. And I think this is one of his that he came for. He entered into this certain village, and he entered into this certain woman's house, and he's going to teach her something, and he's going to teach us something. And he didn't rough her up. I really don't think this is harsh language. I don't believe he screamed at her. I don't believe he roughed her up. I believe he was tender, like he is with us when we're out there in left field wandering around. I believe he gathers us like he gathered that lost sheep, gently puts it on his shoulder, carries it back to the flock. Martha, Martha. Can't you just hear those words? Martha, Martha. You're careful and you're troubled about many things. And there's a time for that and there's a place for that. I tell you young people, oh, study hard. And when you go out there, and I used to hear Henry say this, when you go out there on the job, you work out there on that job like the Lord Himself is your boss. But not 168 hours out of the week. Don't do that. Don't miss the opportunity. We may never pass this way again. Lay hold of the opportunity when it's there. Martha, you're troubled, cumbered about many things. But verse 42, one thing. One thing is needful, Martha. One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part. What is that Mary hath chosen? There she sits. There she sits. She's not saying anything. She's not arguing and debating. She's sitting there being fed by the Master. One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part. And it'll never be taken away from her. Never be taken away from her. Isn't that something? Never be. Martha, Martha, I promise you. Martha, I promise you. There'll come a day when you won't even be able to lift a skillet. There'll come a day when you won't be able to eat that scrumptious food you've prepared. There'll come a day when somebody will sit there with a bowl of soup and feed you one spoonful at a time. There'll come a day when you won't even know Mary. There'll come a day when you won't even know your own name. But Mary hath chosen that good part. That'll never be taken away. That'll never be taken away. So I say to me and I say to you, don't take it for granted. Let's don't take it for granted. Let's be thankful and be attentive. And I don't necessarily mean here. I mean to the Word of God. She was attentive to the Word of God. To that time of prayer. To that time of reading the Scripture. To that time of seeking the will of the Lord and the truth of the Lord. Lord, show me what this means. Tim James used to say to the natural man, lay that Bible out there this summer. Lay it out there on the coffee table. Frank, you remember this illustration? He said, I seen it laying there one day. It was open. It was open to John 3:16. God so loved that He gave. And he said, a fly lit right there on John 3:16. Crawled all over John 3:16. He said, it flew away. He didn't have a clue what it meant. I don't either. I don't either. Lord, teach me Thy Word. Show me. Help me. Or I'll never learn. And don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Be attentive to the Word of God. All right. I've asked Brother Mike to close our service with a special.